This is Tom Scott with the news from Ford County for the week of June 28, 2020. We'll begin, as we have been for the last few weeks, with the latest updates from the Public Health Department. First, from the Ford County Public Health Department, and this is for release July 2, 2020 at 3 p.m. The Ford County Public Health Department is announcing one new confirmed case. The individual is a female in her 50s. Ford County has a total of 34 confirmed cases. There has been one COVID-19-related death. These numbers are accurate as of the release time. Public health officials continue to investigate and contact all individuals who may have had exposure to individuals that tested positive for COVID-19. Federal privacy restrictions prohibit the release of any further information. Ford County Public Health Department continues to encourage all residents to conduct preventive measures, including practicing three key steps, the three W's: wash your hands, watch your distance, wear a face covering. COVID-19 appears to spread from person to person, mainly with close contact, that is, of less than 6 feet, but may also be spread by a surface that has had the virus and then touching one's mouth, nose, or possibly one's eyes. The Illinois Department of Public Health states that the spread is through the respiratory droplets produced when an infected person speaks, coughs, or sneezes. And from the Iroquois County Public Health Department, as of Thursday, July 2nd, Iroquois County has 162 individuals with laboratory-confirmed cases of COVID-19. As of Thursday, the Iroquois County Public Health Department has received 2,792 test results for COVID-19. Of the 2,792 results, 2,629 have been negative and 162 have been positive. Here is the information shared by the Iroquois County Public Health Department about its cases confirmed on Thursday. Case 161 is a male in his 60s. Case 162 is a female in her 40s. Of the 162 individuals with laboratory-confirmed cases, 144 have recovered and have been released from isolation. None are hospitalized. 13 remain isolated at home, and 5 have passed away. The Iroquois County Public Health Department is reporting congregate data regarding COVID-19. In an effort to clarify this data, we would like to provide a brief explanation. A confirmed case is an individual residing in Iroquois County who has a positive laboratory confirmation of COVID-19. The total confirmed case numbers we report include all individuals who have tested positive, regardless of their current status. This number will never decrease. Recovered cases are individuals who tested positive and after a minimum of 10 days are afebrile, that is, fever-free without fever-reducing medication, for at least 72 hours and respiratory symptoms have improved. Those recovered cases are then released from isolation by the health department. This is a rapidly evolving situation, and the Iroquois County Public Health Department will provide updated information and guidance as it becomes available on our Illinois County Public Health Department Facebook page and our website at www.co.iroquois.il/COVID-19. We'll turn first to the Ford County Chronicle and its lead story for the week. A lot of mullets going on. Paxton-based barbershop reopens. Paxton. Since reopening the doors to his popular barbershop downtown Paxton on May 29th, Blake Johnson has seen some really shaggy hairdos. He expected nothing less after a 2.5-month shutdown. There's some guys, elder fellas in this town, that had never gone that long without a haircut, said Johnson, owner of Frank's Barbershop. I mean, I saw some crazy hair. A lot of mullets were going on. So we almost created a new fad by accident. After reopening in late May, Johnson's schedule was booked for weeks ahead of time, with many of his customers waiting to get their first haircut since the coronavirus pandemic forced the temporary shutdown of barbershops statewide. It wasn't until last week when his schedule availability finally opened up. Everything was overwhelming, Johnson said. You had the phone ringing while trying to cut hair, and you didn't have any appointments open, and my ability to keep track of my schedule probably was weak at that point. Everybody was wanting an appointment times, and I was trying to get them in, but I was tripping over myself the first couple of days. To make up for lost ground, Johnson worked on some Saturdays in June and on one Monday, his typical day off work. But he is not complaining by any means. "I'm glad to be back in business," Johnson said. "I need this for my own sanity." As a barber, Johnson gets an education every day at work. Chatting with so many people does that. He missed the customer interaction. "I'm tickled to death being back to work. Tickled to death to do what I do," Johnson said. "I miss the people interaction." Someone asked me when I was off work this spring, "How are you getting along?" And I said, "I'm half as smart as I was. I don't have people telling me things now, so I need to get back in there." In the weeks after his barbershop was shut down, he used his time off to renovate the former American Legion building on East Pell Street in Paxton, right by his home. Johnson and his wife Patty bought the building from the local Legion post, and Patty recently opened a dog grooming salon there. The renovations, 7 days a week, kept my mind tearing me up too much bad, Johnson said. "I made the wife happy, plus I was keeping myself busy during the shutdown." Today, of course, Johnson is again busy being the local barber. As the coronavirus pandemic continues, Johnson wears a face mask covering at his shop to make customers feel better, whether I think it does any good or not. Also, he does not try to be in their face a whole lot, and the number of customers allowed in the shop at any one time is limited. Johnson said that he also now uses a throwaway cape for each customer, rather than a cloth cape. He also does hand sanitizing and wipes down door handles and other surfaces of the shop regularly. "I spray everything with Lysol every chance I get," he said. Johnson said he increased the prices of a haircut from $14 to $16 when he reopened. He said he was planning to bump up the price this year anyway. The pandemic and its impact on business left him no other option. In the Chronicle, a story that we first reported on at the beginning of the pandemic. Ugandan couple remain involved in Paxton community. Paxton. During their 3.5-month stay in Paxton, Charles and Destiny Magumba have made themselves part of the community. The couple from Uganda visit Paxton on the weekend of March 13th and 15th for a prayer seminar hosted by the First United Methodist Church. Due to circumstances related to the coronavirus pandemic, they have been in Paxton since that weekend. Charles Tucker Magumba is a pastor at Salem Church in Kampala, Uganda, and he and Destiny help support other pastors and churches with training and teaching, and they also have a ministry where they do evangelic crusades in open-air settings. As of Wednesday, July 1st, the Ugandan borders remain closed. "There might be one flight to send stranded Ugandans back to their home country," Charles Magumba said, "but that's not yet confirmed. The plane would be departing from Virginia via charter flight if it happens." "We're not sure we can make that flight," Charles Magumba said. "We're still around and just hoping that in the next 1 to 2 months, the border will be open and we can go back by regular flight." In the meantime, the Magumbas are still connecting with the Paxton community. They have a show at Paxton-based WPXN Radio where they preach every Sunday. "We're running some services every Sunday and we're just keeping busy and doing missionary work as we wait to get back home," Charles Magumba said. The radio show will continue even after the Magumbas return to Uganda. "We've been working on getting some studio equipment so that we are able to continue to produce programs in Uganda, and we will have a program run on WPXN every Sunday from Africa, just broadcasting something special from Africa to the Paxton community," Charles Magumba said. "We are still connecting with the community and deepening the relationship, and people are taking good care of us." John Hoke, pastor of the First United Methodist Church, is organizing a fundraiser on GoFundMe titled Freedom Project Evangelism Campaign for Uganda. The goal of the fundraiser is to raise some money for components for speakers that would help the Magumbas to be able to broadcast to more people on behalf of their ministry. As of Wednesday, the fundraiser has raised $1,875 out of its goal of $20,000. "We used that to buy some equipment for our ministry," and for our organization back at home, Magamba said. We're looking for ways of shipping it back. We called the airline to see if we could get it sent back on a plane, and we're also exploring the possibility of just getting some more stuff, such as used clothing and shoes and those kinds of things, and, if it were possible, send home humanitarian relief. Our stay here could be useful to very many, so rather than spending money on putting some stuff on a cargo plane, I'll be able to get a little more, have a collection place, and fill up a 20 to 40 foot container and send that by ship. Then we can have that and go home with that, and that would be beneficial to many people. The GoFundMe page is still up and running, so people can still contribute, Magamba said. Along with the weekly radio show in Paxton, the Magambas have also helped some people in Paxton with house cleaning. That helps keep us busy, he said. Royce Bayer and his family are hosting Charles and Destiny at his house next to Bayer Funeral Home in Paxton, which Royce is using as a guest house. We're very happy for all the people who have done for us taking good care of us, Charles Magamba said. We've had ample opportunities to connect with many people. It's been good for people to open their homes to us and have meals with us, and just to let us help them and get to learning about their culture here. In return, the people of Paxton have received some education about the people of Uganda. Many people have taken an interest in Uganda, Magamba said. They go to the internet and read about it and its people, and we have learned a lot about the people here. But the people here have also learned a lot about our country and our continent, and that's good. We know many people who want to make a trip to Uganda once this crisis is done, just because they met us. They want to know more about the country and the continent. It's been a good experience, and we're grateful. The Magamba's temporary residence in Paxton lies close to a funeral home, which motivates Charles to encourage people to be cautious as this coronavirus pandemic continues. Some people don't want to be pushed to wear masks and social distance. Some people think it's an encroachment on their rights. But the truth is, people are dying, Charles Magamba said. We live by a funeral home. People die, that's a fact. We see people coming and going out to the cemetery, so it's good for people to take care of themselves. You have young children, and you want to see your young children go through school and give them a foundation, so you don't want to die young and leave your children just because you want to prove a point. So it's good to be very careful and just to take care of yourself. It's good for people to be very careful and keep themselves in God and look up to Him and not put Him out of their lives. Now from the front page of the Ford County Record, PBL Food Pantry reopened. The PBL Food Pantry recently reopened with new hours and new procedures related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Director Nancy Taylor outlined some of the new procedures and schedule. The food pantry serves residents in the Paxton Buckley Lotus School District area. We provide services to any resident in the Paxton Buckley Lotus School District, Taylor said, which encompasses many towns. Taylor said clients are in the low-income bracket, but the requirements are such that almost anyone on strictly Social Security would be eligible. The food pantry reopened with new hours, 9 to 11 a.m. Thursdays and Saturdays. Taylor said they hope to be able to offer evening hours in the near future to accommodate clients who might not be able to make it to the pantry during the morning. The reopening also includes new social distancing rules. We're practicing safe distancing and masks right now, she said. COVID-19 has really restricted many things. Beyond those requirements, Taylor said clients are no longer allowed into the food pantry. We're doing the distancing and the masks, and no one's allowed in, she said. Taylor said they went from filling boxes and helping to put the supplies in the client's car to carts they put sacks in and push outside for the clients to receive them. She said the carts are sanitized after they are brought back in. Taylor said they are following the CDC and Health Department guidelines for COVID-19 to protect their clients and their volunteers. She said all of the volunteers are 70 and older, so they want to make sure take every precaution that they can to keep them safe and continue serving the community. We're taking the better safe than sorry approach, she said. They are very cautious in the medical field, and we're being very cautious here because we want to stay open. Taylor said clients have understood the need for these changes and have reacted mostly positively to them. In addition to the new social distancing requirements, Taylor said the pandemic has also made it more difficult to find all of the items for the food pantry distributions than it was in the past. Taylor said she goes out to stores to purchase food for the distributions using money donated to the food pantry. However, during the pandemic, she said there's been a limited amount of items available for purchase. We get money donations and I go buy food and try to get the best prices, Taylor said. And I've noticed I can't get very many cases of things. Taylor praised the Paxton IGA for their help with obtaining items for the food pantry. They are very good. They give us produce every day, she said. This local IGA is a wonderful supporter. Taylor also expressed her appreciation to the Midwest Food Bank. They're a wonderful resource, she said. Taylor said the main source of support for the food pantry comes from the community. The main support comes from local citizens who donate money and time, she said. Taylor said the food pantry generally serves 80 to 100 people a month. However, Taylor said that seems to have slowed down a bit lately. She said the food pantry had spent the last 3 months making bags of supplies and asked the Hands of Christ Food Pantry to distribute them on their behalf. Taylor said they asked the Hands of Christ Food Pantry to distribute the supplies for them because they had more volunteers and all of PBL Food Pantry volunteers are senior citizens. All our volunteers are senior citizens, she said. Taylor said the PBL Food Pantry is in the process of developing its board and getting more younger people involved with that, but admitted there aren't many young people who can volunteer in the mornings on Thursday due to their work schedule. Taylor said the history of the PBL Food Pantry started when former director Millie Sutton, who passed away January 6th, would drive her mother, Nellie Clearwater, and her senior citizen friends to the store to get groceries. Sutton would go and to found the PBL Food Pantry after hearing her mother and her friends talk about the need for a food pantry in Paxton. It came about because of senior citizens' need, Taylor said. The PBL Food Pantry is located at 780 South Vermilion Street in Paxton. Now back to the Chronicle. Shed destroyed by fire to be replaced by city. Paxton. Bids are being sought from contractors for the demolition and replacement of a city-owned storage shed that was damaged by fire in late May. Paxton Mayor Bill Ingold said he was in the process of soliciting separate bids for the building's demolition, the removal of its concrete foundation, the construction of a new storage building, and the pouring of new concrete. Ingold said he hopes enough bids will be received by the City Council's meeting in July in order to accept bids at that time. The demo could start right away, Ingold said, but it might be a couple of months down the road before the new building is put in place. The city wants to build a 45 by 195-foot storage building that would include 4 24-foot roll-up doors and one regular entry door, Ingold said. The building would not be insulated, but would feature electricity and lighting. There would be no water service in the building, Ingold said. The shed, which is located east of the Police Department headquarters and Public Works building on the city's north side, sustained heavy damage, especially to its north side, and much of its contents were destroyed or damaged in the blaze. The cause of the fire was investigated, but could not be determined. The city is working with its insurance company on an itemized list of equipment that needs to be replaced. While some equipment can't and likely be salvaged, some will not be and will be part of the city's insurance claim. Among items damaged were a dump truck, two bucket trucks, a brand new salt building the city had bought a couple of months earlier, a mosquito mister, and some plastic tubing and racks used to set off the city's annual 4th of July fireworks show. Last month, the council authorized Ingold and Public Works Director Mark LeClaire to buy up to $35,000 in replacement equipment. Ingold said a new mosquito mister was purchased using about $11,000 of those funds and is being used already. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in Ford County for the week of June 28, 2020. Beverly Jean Jeannie Johnson. Milford. Beverly Jean Jeannie Johnson, 62, of Milford, passed away on Thursday, June 25, 2020, at her home. Cremation rites will be accorded by Knapp Funeral Home in Milford. M. Jeanette Deck, Hoopston. M. Jeanette Deck, 64, of Hoopston, formerly of Rankin, passed away Friday, June 26, 2020, at her home. Per Jeanette's wishes, cremation rites have been accorded. A private family service will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society. Rebecca J. Craig, Gibson City. Rebecca J. Craig, 68, of Gibson City, peacefully passed away at 3:30 p.m. Sunday, June 21, 2020, at the Gibson Area Hospital. A private celebration of life graveside service will be held at the Monticello Township Cemetery in Monticello. Memorial contributions may be made to the Humane Society of Champaign County. Arlene E. Houtzel, and that is spelled H-O-U-T-Z-E-L, Buckley. Arlene E. Houtzel, a lifelong Buckley resident, passed away at 2:40 p.m. Saturday, June 27, 2020, at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex. Private funeral services will be held at St. John's Lutheran Church with the Reverend J. Kevin Wyckoff officiating. Burial will follow in St. John's Cemetery in Buckley. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church or an organization of the donor's choice. Gerald H. Jerry Berkland, Paxton. Gerald H. Jerry Berkland, 82, a lifelong Paxton resident, passed away at 12:13 p.m. Monday, June 29th at Carle Foundational Hospital in Urbana. A graveside visitation was held Thursday, July 2nd at Glen Cemetery in Paxton, where family and friends were allowed to drive beside the tent, lower their windows, and speak to family. A private family burial followed, with Pastor Dave Parker officiating. Memorials may be made to the Paxton Evangelical Covenant Church or the Wounded Warrior Project. Louis Nicholas Lou Reeling, Rantoul. Louis Nicholas Lou Reeling, Jr., 83, of Rantoul, formerly of Paxton, passed away at 6:20 p.m. Saturday, June 27, 2020, at his home. A memorial service will be held at 5:30 p.m. Saturday, July 18, 2020, at Pell's Park in Paxton. Memorials, gifts should be made to the Paxton United Methodist Church. We return to the news with a story in the Chronicle entitled, Outgoing Roberts Village Board President Receives Key to the Village. Roberts. Outgoing Village Board President Rick Flesner was recently presented with a Key to the Village for his decades of service and leadership to the town of Roberts. Flesner and his wife Debbie recently moved to Paxton to be closer to their daughter Catherine Swan and her family. The move required Flesner to give up his elected duties in Roberts. For the majority of the past two decades, Flesner served as village board president in Roberts and was a village board member prior to that. Matt Vaughn, who has been a village trustee for the past 17 years, was appointed to fulfill the rest of Flesner's term, which is set to expire next year. In other Roberts news, the village was under a prolonged boil order from May 28th through June 12th. The chlorine switch went bad and the $3,000 part had to be ordered from a company in Florida. Although part was expedited in shipping, the riots have plagued the country since shut down numerous FedEx shipping depots, and the part was delayed in transit. Once received, it was promptly installed, and water tests were sent to the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency for testing. Test results came back clean, and the boil order was immediately lifted. And from Gibson City, we have Galletti's Spaghetti Catering reopens after delayed opening. Gibson City. Better late than never. Pioletti's Spaghetti Catering in Gibson City held a ribbon-cutting ceremony at its new tasting room, located at 310 North Sangamon Avenue, on May 27th, and began selling take-and-bake meals following the ceremony. Nicole Pioletti Miller and her family closed its rental shop, located on 9th Street in Gibson City, in March, as the permit expired March 13th, with plans to hold their grand opening at their new building later that month. Downtown Gibson City had planned a wine tasting event, a winter wine down, at all the downtown businesses on March 21st, and Miller's plan was to open her business doors that day for its grand opening and do that in conjunction with the wine tour that the city had planned. However, in that time frame between March 13th and 23rd, the state of Illinois closed down due to the COVID-19 pandemic, and the Ford County Public Health Department could not do an inspection to grant the business a permit for its new location. The building sat finished, unable to do anything in the interim, Miller said. We still had the permit on the kitchen where we had been cooking. I just didn't have a way to sell any meals, so we ended up doing was taking pre-orders online, preparing the meals at the kitchen where we had been cooking before, and delivering to each home individually. We did no contact deliveries through that time frame until we could open our doors here. So mid-March until early May, we were taking pre-orders online and delivering to roughly 50 households each time to hand off the take-and-bake meals to customers that way. That was a little bit of a challenge. Nicole Pioletti Miller and her family, including her husband, Gibson City native Andy Miller, moved to Ford County in 2005, getting her first job in the local area as a server at the Bärenstube restaurant in Gibson City. In 2010, the family began preparing meals for friends who needed someone to cook for them on a larger scale, thereby starting Pioletti Spaghetti Catering as a catering service. The company did its first wedding in 2014. In 2017, Pioletti's became the caterers for Engelbrecht Farm in Paxton. Last year, the company started its take-and-bake, meals prepared in advance for people to carry out and take home and throw in their oven or crock pit at its rental shop. It ended up being so popular that we decided to go ahead and purchase a building and have everything under one roof, Nicole said. After the two-month delay, Pioletti's opened its tasting room in May and dropped spaghetti from the sign because, according to Nicole, people always assume we only serve pasta. Along with take-and-bake dinners out of the building's retail room, Pioletti's can currently offer in-house dining here in its tasting room area as private events. For example, we're hosting a dinner party for 9 people on August 1st, Nicole said. They will be the only customers in the building at that time. That with a predetermined menu. We do a prefix 5-course meals for parties like that. Take-and-bake dinners are available from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Saturday evenings, reservations are available for outdoor seating. Starting next Thursday, Pioletti's will be doing lunches at its establishment with outdoor tables for dining. Now that we can open here, it's become a lot easier for us to be able to stay put and have people come to us. We do offer curbside carryout for folks that don't want to come in or don't want to and can't put on a mask because we're required to have masks inside, Nicole said. Otherwise, people have been trickling in to pick up their take-and-bakes and take those home. The patio dining has been fantastic. We haven't even really considered that for this space, but we have a 16-foot sidewalk out front, so when Governor J.B. Pritzker approved on-site dining outside, we decided to give that a try, and that's been a lot of fun. It's been very well received here. The community's been really supportive of our attempts to do an on-site dining outside. Pioletti's will also start catering weddings again in 2 weeks out at Engelbrecht Farm as new statewide regulations allow for groups to gather again. We're excited to get back into the wedding business, Nicole said. It's been a long time. And that's all the time we have for this week. This is Tom Scott wishing you and your family a happy and safe 4th of July.